Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. So again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're actually going to look at a passage today that talks about how to hear and then believe this good news, and then that will set the stage for living it out. It's in Romans chapter 10, and it really talks about this righteousness that comes to us by faith. And Paul is going to use the example of his Jewish brethren to tell us about righteousness and what it really is and how we receive it and what it means to us. And so as he starts out chapter 10, he says, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, for his Jewish brothers, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." So Paul is drawing on his own personal experience. So he knows exactly what he's talking about there. He had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. "For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." So they were ignorant of the righteousness of God. So they sought to establish their own. Now, that's true of people today. We're ignorant of the righteousness of God. So we try to seek and establish our own standard for righteousness. And we see it in just about every arena of life. You can even go into gangs and they have a standard for righteousness. If you don't live up to it, you're ousted.
Yeah,
you're in trouble. So we all are looking to be accepted, to be in right standing with a particular group. And with that group, we have to find out, well, what are the rules for righteousness? What are the standards? And so we try to live up to those. And in doing so, we don't submit to God's righteousness. And then he says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So Christ fulfilled the law on our behalf so that we could experience the righteousness of God, so those righteous requirements could be fulfilled in us. And then he goes on to say, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them." So if you're gonna take those Ten Commandments as your standard for righteousness, how are you doing?
Yeah.
How are you doing with commandment number one? Have you lived from the time of your birth to this very present moment with no other God before you except the one true God? Have you bowed down to the God of money, the God of fame, the God of power, or all those things out there in the world that says you need to bow down to this in order to be happy, in order to find purpose, in order to find meaning and significance in life? How'd you do on commandment number one? and most of us don't even need to go past commandment number one.
Right.
But if we get all the way through the first nine, let's go to number 10. Have you ever lived without a covetous thought in your mind? Have you ever looked at something that a friend had or a neighbor had and said, "I really want that. I got to have that. I need that in order to be happy"? And that just wipes us all out. So if you're going to live by those, if you're going to do those commandments, then you're going to have to live by it. If you can't live up to it, you're going to have to suffer the consequence. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." What a powerful verse that is. "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." So what is this passage saying? It's saying that we can't establish a standard of righteousness. Why? Because we can't live up to it. We can't live up to the 10. And if we know that, we try to establish another standard of righteousness, we won't be able to live up to that either. So we're going to have to call upon the one who did. His name is Jesus. So if we will confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. So for with the heart we believe and we are justified, and with the mouth we confess and are saved.
Yeah.
So this belief, this justification starts in the heart. God declares us righteous when our hearts believe that he is the one indeed, the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition. We have plenty of open lines right now. 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and in Canada. We would love to hear from you and address your question or address your particular topic of conversation on this edition. We would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. Just a moment. We're going to go talk to our friend Lucy in San Diego, but Bob, want to remind our listeners that, friends, for your thank you for your gift in April, we're gonna send you a very special thing, a combo pack, including Bob Christopher's best-selling book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and its companion study guide. It's the materials, of course, that we're studying through on our Friday teaching editions on Basic Gospel. Your combo pack is available today. All you need to do is click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Again, that's Donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-412-2742. Let's keep the good news coming.
Yes, indeed. And we're looking for more and more partners to stand with us because more and more people need to hear this good news about Jesus. Man, we're living in a confusing mess right now.
Yeah.
Politically, you know, so many Christians are just putting all their hopes in the political basket on making sure we get the right candidate voted in to do the job we want them to do. Well, what's going to happen? We may get the right candidate, but we're not sure they're going to do the job that we want them to do. We're not sure that a year from now we're going to be better off as a country, that we're going to turn the ship and it's going to be back on, you know, a moral trajectory that is more in line with Judeo-Christian ethics. We don't know that's going to happen. So why put hope in something that we're unsure of?
Yeah.
There's only one sure thing, and his name is Jesus. He is our hope. And so that's why this gospel message needs to be heard loud and clear in this current season that we're in here in the United States and around the world. There are, signs of economic disaster up ahead. There's all sorts of things that people are starting to teach and to say, and we're hearing those messages. Let's deliver some hope. Let's deliver some encouragement. Let's deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. We need your help.
Yeah, again, just click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or Billy is standing by, and that number, 844-412-2742. She'd love to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to San Diego and talk with Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hey, Lucy.
Hi. How are you today?
We're doing well. Nice to hear from you, as always.
Well, thank you. Are all three of you there?
No, Mr. Pfeiffer is at home sick today, so
that's what he says anyway.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be back with us tomorrow.
Well, if I was there, I'd make him a big pot of chicken soup. Tell him
I will do that. Of course, you know I would like some of that too.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I wish we were close by. I don't know how's the weather there right now. I heard rain. You were having a lot of rain coming your way.
Had a lot of rain yesterday, and it looks like more to come.
We need it here.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste all your time here, but I would like a better way of communicating or articulating when someone says, well, you have to obey, and leaves it at that.
Well,
without the opportunity to question what you mean by that.
Right, right. Well, you know, the things that mark the Christian life are faith, hope, and love. And we see that back in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So when you look at the commandment, Jesus really distilled those down to faith, hope, and love, believing in Jesus And that faith in Jesus expresses itself in love towards others. So love is not this warm, fuzzy, feel-good thing. It's action. It's faith in action. It's being patient with those that you need to be patient with. It's acting kindly toward those who need an act of kindness. It's persevering with people. It's bringing the truth to people. That's what love is. And we do that as we abide in the vine of Christ, rest in him by faith. So the commandments really are simply to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and to love one another just as he commanded us to do. So if we're obeying those, we're fulfilling the Christian life. That's what the Christian life looks like. So it's a dependent right. attitude upon Jesus that results right. in love being expressed to others.
Well, that's excellent. And if I get the opportunity, I certainly will, you know, remind the person that I was talking to about that. And you know, he's given us an obedient heart, and I guess that's what set up the comment. And we were in a group, so I couldn't go any further. And the person is very, very set in, I think, one foot in the law and one foot in grace. But that's neither here nor there. I just wanted a better way to articulate it than to try to ferret out every scripture where it says obey. But what it talks about is obeying the faith that's been, you know, given to us.
Been delivered to us once
right,
and for all.
Right.
So, yes, that's okay. exactly right. And what God has always wanted is for us to simply trust Jesus,
right.
to live by faith in Jesus Christ, that abiding life. And as we live by faith in Jesus, you know, all these other things are going to fall into shape. You know, as we recognize that Jesus is the one who loves us most and that he demonstrated that to us, that while we were yet sinners, he died on our behalf. When we can recognize that love, that's going to empower us to trust him more. And as we trust him more, then all of these things that we read, for example, don't be unequally yoked. We think, mm-hmm. well, you're saying that for a purpose, Lord. Mm-hmm. You love me. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's the best thing for me. So steer me to somebody that you know, that I can be in partnership with or I can marry that is going to be equally yoked with me, that we're going to be on the same page together. So you can yes. trust him to do those things. So that's what it means to really walk by faith in Christ.
Absolutely. And I thank you so much. I have to admit, I am not well-versed in the Old Testament. And the study of Joshua, I guess I've been told that he's a type of Christ. And the only way that I see that is that, you know, he was given the commission to deliver God's people into the promised land. And whether they obeyed him or not was another thing.
Yeah, and he was an example because he said, you know, when he went into the land, the story in Numbers 13, Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies went into the land, and they came back and gave a report. Joshua and Caleb said, it's exactly as the Lord has said. We can go in and take it. The other 10 were like, oh, no, there are giants in the land. We'll never be able to do that. So we see in their responses, one, a response of faith, one, a response of fear. And so Joshua and Caleb, out of those 12 and out of all of those that came out of the promised land, they were the only two that actually entered into it. So Joshua is a testimony of the faith, someone believing, and that becomes a foreshadowing of Christ Jesus. You know, so Christ had to recognize that when he offered himself as that once for all sacrifice, that God the Father would do exactly what he said he would do, and that would be to raise him back to life on the third day.
Yeah.
And so Christ suffered, knowing that 3 days later he was going to walk out of that tomb.
Yeah.
And so Joshua believed God, knowing that one day he was going to lead the people into the promised land, just as Moses had told him that would be the case. So that's why he is a type, and certainly Joshua is kind of the Hebrew for Jesus. So we even get a shadowing of Jesus through his name alone. So,
yeah.
Lucy, great to hear from you as always. And, you know, speaking of the Holy Land, join us February the 7th through the 18th and experience Israel through the lens of the New Covenant. And what a way to experience it. We're going to walk where Jesus walked, visit the places where Christianity was born, and have great fellowship with other New Covenant believers. Space is limited to 40, so if you've sensed that tugging at your heart to go, don't wait. Get registered today if you can. Click events at basicgospel.net. This is going to be, as I said, the trip of a lifetime. And again, you'll find all the information under the events tab at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Las Vegas and talk to Rick, listening to us on the internet today. Hi, Rick.
Hello. I wanted to ask about something I read in the book of Hebrews, where Esau was unable to come to repentance, even though he sought for it with tears. And just trying to understand from the, what to make of that. I mean, at face value, I could look at that and conclude that he had sinned beyond the grace of God. And so I'm wondering if you can help me process that.
Well, Rick, you know, I think when you ask that question, I think about the rich young ruler that went to Jesus and asked him about the commandments, what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And he said, I've done all of these commandments. And then Jesus said, well, I have one other thing, you know, go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler was unable to do that because his life, his significance, his meaning, his purpose, his identity was defined by his wealth and his riches. And so he didn't want to let go of that. So he was unable to come to repentance. He was unable to see that in Christ, he had everything. All the riches of his grace would be his through faith in Christ. So he was unable to do that. And I think Esau would have been the same story. He wanted to come to God, or wanted God to come to him on Esau's terms rather than Esau coming to God on his terms. And that's when, you know, we cry out, we're remorseful for things that we have done, but we don't want to let go of those things. We still want to let our lives be defined by that, and all we want God to really do is to bless our way of life instead of us letting go of our old way of life and grabbing hold of this newness of life that we have in Christ. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think so. I probably need to think about that some more.
Yeah, it's you'll see this in with a lot of people that they look to God really to have a negotiation with. You know, let's have a little give and take. You know, I've read your proposal. You know, I've crossed out a few things. You know, I've added some things, and you take that back. Here's my counter offer. And you just go back and forth until you get to, you know, a thing that you can agree on. Well, that's not how God works. God gives us Jesus, and in Jesus we have everything. But the ways of the world blinds us to that reality, and we think we can't let go of what the world offers us or what the world has for us, and so we want a little bit of the world and a little bit of Jesus, and it just doesn't work that way.
Rick, hope that helps. Hope you'll keep listening and call again if we can be a further help to you. We have some time remaining on the clock. We'd love to hear from you. Address your question, 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. But do call quickly if you can. In the meantime, Bob, a question was emailed from Deborah. Very quick question. Question that she sent by Facebook, as a matter of fact. She would like you to explain James 4, verses 1 through 3.
Well, we will do that. It's a very interesting passage, this book of James, and it's basically, we talked about it a little bit last week, you know, how Paul says that we're justified by faith, and then James comes along and says, no, we're justified by works. And I think they were just looking at kind of the salvation experience from two different sides. So Paul was looking at people who were lost in need of justification. And he said, because you're in the flesh, there it's impossible for you to please God. You're under the dictates of sin and death. Sin is your master. So no matter how hard you try, your works are going to be worthless. They're not going to be of any value to God. So you have to come empty-handed and simply believe that Jesus has done everything for you. So when you believe that, you're justified by faith. Now that you're justified by faith, that righteous life is going to start being lived out through you. That belief system is going to be lived out through you. So you're going to have a new heart, a heart that is a believing heart, not an unbelieving heart. And out of that believing heart, you're going to see that trust in Jesus manifest itself in righteous deeds. So that's exactly what Abraham did. He believed God concerning the promise of the Son, your offspring, through your offspring, the world is going to be blessed. So that was a promise about Jesus. As Paul explained in Galatians chapter 3, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That was Genesis 15. And then in Genesis 22, we see the story of Abraham offering up Isaac. So his faith was operative in that very act. And so that's what James is saying, that you're going to see your faith operative in the actions that you take toward others. This righteous life is going to be lived out. And so he's constantly saying, what do you really believe? And if you really believe these things, you're going to see them being lived out in a different way than what you've experienced before. And one of the things that we've all experienced before are fights and quarrels and all of those things, arguments. So he says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? So that's a good question. Why do we fight? Well, it's a real simple answer. Because
I can't get my way.
You can't get your way, and I can't get my way.
Yeah.
And so we're fighting in order to get our way. I want my way. That's why we fight in marriage. I want my way. Gina wants her way. And so we argue. We butt heads. We fight and we quarrel until we come to this place and we say, you know, hey, it's not worth fighting over. My way isn't worth fighting over. Your way isn't worth fighting over. Let's step back and say, what does God want for us in this situation? And then with that question comes the answer. And then the fights and quarrels subside.
Yeah.
And we can get along. We can have peace again. So he says up in chapter 3, verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. And sometimes we have selfish ambitions. Sometimes it's so strong that we don't care if we hurt others to get what we want.
Yeah.
And that's why he goes down in chapter 4 and asks the question that he does. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions, your own fleshly desires. So we have to realize that these desires of the flesh, that's where we once lived. We've been set free from those. We have a new way of life. And so if we'll just sit back and we'll ask the question, what is it, God, that you want for us? What is your spirit working in and through me at this particular moment? And if you'll have the courage to keep in step with the Spirit, you're going to see righteous living, righteous action, righteous thinking coming out of you.
Absolutely.
And that's good news right there.
That is good news. It's basic gospel, everybody. You know, if you've tried and tried to live the Christian life only to fall flat on your face time after time, you're really going to appreciate what we're offering during the month of April. As our thanks for your gift in April, we're going to send you Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the companion study guide of the same name. Now, through these pages of this book, you'll come to a new understanding of how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Make your gift at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. Time is short to take advantage of the special April offer, so don't forget Bob Christopher's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the Companion Study Guide. Our thanks to you for your gift to keep the good news coming out. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net or again call Billy at 844-412-2742 to make your gift. Well, thanks for being with us, everybody, for this edition of Basic Gospel. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis wishing you God's very best. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition. I hope you'll be here, too. Bye-bye.